All right, good morning, everybody. I think we're going to, in the interest of time, we're going to get started. My name is Jason Smith, and I'm the Director of Research Utilization at Family Health International. It's my privilege today to serve as the moderator for this session. The topic for this panel is family planning and the global development agenda. And we're very fortunate to have assembled here today a world-class panel of experts who will, by turns, present the public health case for family planning as a development intervention, discuss the role of family planning in the era of HIV, provide us with some insights on an evidence-based advocacy approach to raising the visibility of family planning in the policy arena, provoke our imaginations with a presentation on some of the ethical aspects of population growth as it relates to climate change, and give us a status report on the funding aspects of the global family planning efforts. Now, since I'm also the first speaker as well as the moderator, let me just officially start my talk by saying that I have no personal financial relationships or with commercial interests relevant to this presentation. The first thing I wanted to do is to set the stage for the other talks by making sure that we're on the same page about what family planning is. And in preparing for this presentation, I looked at a number of definitions from a variety of sources. I liked this one from the White Ribbon Alliance because it was simple and yet powerful. Family planning is something that people do, that they make efforts to do, that it has to do with individuals and families deciding their own destiny, and that people use a variety of means, some more technological and some less technological, to do it. So why should we worry about family planning? Now, this graphic is a little bit dated, but I chose it because it shows three important aspects of population growth all on one slide. And I was able to verify that the overall information shown is highly consistent with data from more current sources. The first important aspect is that the global population is large and growing pretty fast. This projection is typical and shows global population reaching about 9 billion by mid-century. While estimates vary, it's clear that because of the population size we already have, the global population will grow substantially over the next 50 years. The second important aspect is that the growth in absolute numbers has occurred and will occur in spite of a growth rate that's been declining since the early 1960s, primarily due to increased use of family planning. Even though family planning is a very effective intervention, the population dynamics are such that continued and even enhanced implementation of family planning programs is needed just for us to stay on track with the projected population growth. The third point I wanted to make is that the vast majority of the population growth anticipated between now and the middle of the 21st century will occur in less developed countries, that is, in the countries that have the fewest resources and the weakest infrastructure for providing improved access to health programs in the near term. Without making any value judgments, the population dynamics shown on this slide, much of which is already a demographic certainty, will have wide-ranging implications for the development of nations, the health of populations, and the welfare of families and individuals. Also, by way of background, I wanted to say something about unmet need. According to the DHS definition, the unmet need group includes all fecund women who are married or living in union, presumed to be sexually active, and who either do not want any more children or who wish to postpone the birth of their next child for at least two more years, but who are not using some method of contraception. This graphic shows that even though we've made progress towards reducing unmet need, and that the levels of unmet need in developing countries remains high and amenable to programmatic intervention. Estimates vary widely, but conservatively, over 120 million couples worldwide do not use contraceptives despite wanting to space or limit their childbearing. All right, so what is the global development agenda? There are many possible versions of a global development agenda, but for the purposes of this presentation, I wanted to use something that had wide acceptance and support. So I'm using the Millennium Development Goals as a reasonable proxy for what the global development agenda is. This slide shows the MDGs. They are eradicate extreme hunger and poverty, achieve universal primary education, promote gender equality and empower women, reduce child mortality, improve maternal health, combat HIV/AIDS, malaria, and other diseases, ensure environmental sustainability, and develop a global partnership for development. Now, it's possible to show how family planning can make beneficial contributions to each of these goals, but for my presentation, I intend to spend the rest of my time talking about two MDGs that are directly related to public health, reducing child mortality and improving maternal health. So how can family planning reduce child mortality? Well, directly, short birth intervals result in increased risk of adverse events for infants and children. More generally, family planning allows families to conserve resources and invest more in the children they do have, particularly in their education. By way of illustration of the first point, this slide shows the decline in risk of under 5 mortality that accompanies increases in the length of birth interval, most dramatically between intervals of less than 18 months and intervals of up to 3 years. According to the 2006 UN Millennium Project Report on Sexual and Reproductive Health, pregnancy spacing could save the lives of 3 million children under the age of 5 annually. Turning to Goal 5, improving maternal health, in a nutshell, increased use of family planning reduces the absolute number of unintended pregnancies, and this results in fewer maternal deaths. Every minute, a woman dies as a result of a pregnancy-related problem, over 500,000 every year. The highest maternal mortality rates, and consequently the places where family planning can have the most beneficial impact on maternal health, are in developing countries. For example, women in sub-Saharan Africa have a lifetime risk of maternal mortality of about 1 in 16, compared with low rates common in Western nations of about 1 in 2,800. At current levels, family planning already prevents a significant number of maternal deaths annually. By preventing unwanted pregnancies, data suggests that between 25 and 40% of maternal deaths could be eliminated. Measuring abortion mortality and morbidity is notoriously difficult. According to a 2007 source, an estimated 46 million of the 210 million pregnancies annually worldwide are terminated by induced abortion, and perhaps as many as 19 million of these are performed under conditions deemed unsafe by the WHO definitions. Preventing unintended pregnancies can't help but to reduce the absolute number of elective abortions and ultimately the number of abortion-related deaths and disabilities, especially in places with poor access to safe abortion services. Maternal morbidity is another statistic that's particularly difficult to measure. But most experts would agree that for every maternal mortality, there are many morbidities, and that reduction of unintended pregnancy through voluntary family planning would result in significant maternal morbidity reductions. Meeting the existing demand for family planning services alone would reduce pregnancies in developing countries by 20% and maternal deaths and injuries by that much or more. Now, there has been some progress recently in recognizing the potential of family planning to contribute to Goal 5. When the Millennium Development Goals were first introduced, there was one target, and that was to reduce the maternal mortality ratio, and two indicators, the maternal mortality ratio and the proportion of births attended by skilled personnel. That was fine as far as it went, but there were problems with using these measures. Both the maternal mortality ratio and the proportion of skilled birth attendants, because they only consider the experience of women who are already pregnant, mask the effects of family planning as one of the few means of primary prevention for maternal mortality and morbidity. In 2006, the UN Millennium Project issued Stan Bernstein's report on the MDGs and sexual and reproductive health. Influenced by this report, In 2007, the UN Assembly reviewed and adopted the Secretary General's report that proposed a new framework for the MDGs that acknowledged the role of family planning could play in achieving the MDGs and included specific reproductive health measures, which are shown on this slide. In 2008, we've seen ongoing efforts to roll out the new goal for the new Goal 5 target and indicators. As recently as just last month, the UN convened a high-level event designed to advance the improved MDG framework that includes the family planning measures for Goal 5. In summary, the situation for family planning inside the MDG framework has improved, although it remains understated and there's still no way to capture the downstream benefits of family planning on maternal morbidity. Our next speaker, Dr. Hardy, will address the third MDG directly related to public health, which is Goal 6, combating HIV/AIDS. Later on this panel, Dr. Petroni's presentation will raise ethical issues related to Goal 7, environmental sustainability. Indirectly, all of the speakers on this panel will present material to show how family planning helps women gain greater educational and employment opportunities, and how family planning helps governments to address poverty, hunger, education, and social justice for women. In conclusion, achieving the MDGs is going to be very difficult. That said, achieving the MDGs will be easier and less expensive if contraceptive use increases as a result of fulfilling unmet need for family planning. Apart from reducing the difficulty and the cost, realizing the MDGs with the help of family planning efforts will result in a better life for many of the world's most vulnerable people. Thank you. I'm going to move right on to our next presentation. I'll put my moderator hat back on, and if I can get this mouse to work.